welcome to an all-new Great Moments in Weed History. In this week's episode, I'm going to expose myself as an umbrophile. No, don't call the cops. That just means that I'm an eclipse chaser. And really, the solar eclipse happening on April 8th is only going to be my second time experiencing totality. So I'm a very inexperienced umbrophile at that. Right at the top, let me just say that my main motivation for making this an eclipse stan podcast for one episode is that really I want to share this amazing life-changing experience with you. And, you know, there is still time for you to make plans and reach the path of totality, at which point, on top of everything else, you'll get to say cool shit like this.
A solar eclipse. The cosmic ballet goes on.
Does anyone want to switch seats?
Also, I just think this subject fits our general sort of vibe here at Great Moments in Weed History, because a total solar eclipse is actually trippy as fuck, as you are about to hear. Now, my guest for this exploration of the cosmos will be Noir Scoff, a postdoctoral researcher in astronomy at the University of California, Santa Cruz. In 2001, Noir received the L'Oreal UNESCO Award for Women in Science Young Talent category. She specializes in the study of exoplanets, meaning planets beyond our solar system, including looking for signs of alien life. At one point in the interview, she actually told me all about this highly classified research into aliens, including which planets they live on, but then that part of the recording mysteriously got erased when this van drove past my office window. Anyway, best not get too far into that. I actually connected with Noir because she's also part of an organization called Black Rock Observatory that brings a giant telescope to Burning Man and introduces people to the sky. I had a truly beautiful and synchronistic moment seeing Saturn through the Black Rock Observatory's telescope this year at Burning Man. So I was very excited to see that they will be setting up a mobile observatory at the Texas Eclipse Festival, which is happening just outside Austin, and which is where both Noir and I will be taking in that celestial show on April 8th. She will be giving a talk as part of the Future of Space Science programming at the festival, which also includes talks and seminars from literal astronauts, not to mention there's going to be some incredible people there involved in psychedelics, art, consciousness, philosophy, and technology. And oh yeah, a whole bunch of very hip electronic musical acts will be there that I'm not too familiar with, if I'm being honest. If you're going to be there, please drop me a line at info@greatmomentsinweedhistory.com and let's meet up. I will be there working on a story for Double Blind magazine, so I'd especially love to hear your thoughts on the eclipse as a psychedelic experience. For now, we best prepare ourselves, dear listener. We are, of course, used to hopping in the hot box time machine and journeying great distances back in time. But for this episode, we're going to be traveling light years away from Earth. And yet, ground control tells me that some of you are not as lit as you'd like to be to truly explore the outer regions of the universe. As always, all you've got to do is hit pause, and you can use that time at your leisure to roll yourself a joint, or to split a blunt, or to pack a bong, or to endabulate a dab, or to do whatever it is you do with those moon rocks. Because once you are cosmically as lit as you'd like to be, and you're ready to roll, and you hit unpause, well then I promise you this, my friends, we will all be ready to roll into another
great moment in weed history.
Hey You know, it's no exaggeration to say this podcast runs on coffee and weed. And lately, the coffee has been top shelf because of our new sponsor, Vigilante Coffee. I grind my beans daily, no pun intended, and I do the whole pretentious hipster pour over thing every morning, and I gotta say, I really enjoy thinking about where my coffee came from and how it was grown and processed, just like weed. And just like weed, it's worth it to get the best coffee you can afford. And the good news is, if you brew your own at home, really good coffee is an affordable luxury. That's why I'm thrilled to have Vigilante Coffee on the podcast and in my mug each and every morning. Vigilante is a specialty coffee roaster that sources their beans directly from small, award-winning farms around the world and then roasts them to perfection. They support ending the war on drugs, and they want to support this podcast too because they believe that all you really need is coffee and weed. Amen. So treat yourself to a bag of their Golden Bean Award-winning Dank blend, which has just returned for its fourth year. Dank is 80% Guatemalan and 20% Ethiopian. Brew that up nice and strong and pair it with a puff or two of good weed in the morning, and I guarantee you will be up and at them. To learn more or to order their amazing coffee, check out their website, vigilantecoffee.com, or you can visit one of their cafes. And if you buy a pound of those beans, well, please tell them Beans sent you. VigilanteCoffee.com. Hey, Noir.
Hi, David.
Welcome to Great Moments in Weed History Podcast. I am thrilled to have you as a guest for a subject that is very close to my heart, and I know yours as well, the upcoming eclipse that's going to be happening on April the 8th. And I wanted to start by asking kind of a foundational question of, when did you personally just, you know, I think we all have an interest in the cosmos that envelops us, but when did you realize it was going to be a particular interest or fascination or lifelong pursuit?
Such an amazing question. First, thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited about the upcoming eclipse and really excited about this podcast. As for my journey with the cosmos and how it became such a big part of my life, actually, it's pretty late with respect to other astronomers. I discovered astronomy when I was 17 years old in south of France. So I was in senior year of high school. At the time, I had a lot of family issues, lots of very challenging things were happening in my life. And my high school was organizing an astronomy camp. And I wanted to go, not because I was interested in astronomy, but rather to get away from home and spend some time with my friends. I was so ignorant, so much so that I thought the sun was at the center of the universe. This is how bad I was. And then
a lot of 17-year-olds believe themselves to be the center of the universe. So
yeah, right? Yeah. Yeah. And then I got to see the sky, I think for the first time, really. Like, before me, it was like the sky is like a blanket over our head that I never really got to truly see. And then suddenly I see these things that just blows my mind in how much beyond our human capacity of understanding it is. It's things that really gives me a slap of humility. It's something that made me understand how little my problems were and how absolutely nothing I am with respect to this gigantic cosmos. And that was it. I fell in love. I was hooked from that moment. I was not so good in science. I was a lot more into like philosophy, French history than into science. But that was it. For me, that was very much of a spiritual experience. It was like seeing God's hands in many ways. At the time, I was also very religious. And so my entire mind opened into a different realm. I had my first job in astronomy as kind of like a touristic guide of the stars for 2 summers. And then I went into my studies, and here I am now as an astronomer.
All a lead in to ask you a very simple but also very complicated question. What is an eclipse?
Let's start we're saying there is different types of eclipses. There is a lunar eclipse and there is a solar eclipse. All of the eclipses are linked with an alignment between the moon, the earth, and the sun. In the case of a solar eclipse, like we're going to have on April 8th, it's the moon blocking the sun's light by its orbit going in front of it. And it's something that brings shadow to the earth. And so suddenly, as the sun's light is totally blocked, we see things we wouldn't be seeing otherwise. We see stars, we see the sky darkening, we have temperature drops happening, we have even what we call an eclipse breeze. So there is all sorts of very interesting events happening around an eclipse. So yeah, in a nutshell, there is a lot that can be said around what eclipses are, but I will stay simple for now.
And that is a total solar eclipse. So one point I think for people coming into this with who've never experienced one, a really important point is the difference between being in what's called the path of totality and being even just slightly outside of that. So can you talk about what that term, the path of totality, means and why it's so important to understand?
Yes. So the path of totality is a very, very important place to be for anyone who wants to truly have the eclipse experience, because this is where you have the sun's light being entirely blocked by the moon. You're totally in the moon shadow. You don't see anything. By the moment you're out of the path of totality, you're totally blinded by the sun's lights. The experience is totally different. In the path of totality, you have the moon playing like the role of a mask in front of the sun. It's like a coronagraph in some ways, and you see things that you wouldn't see. You see the sun's corona. You really have the full experience of an eclipse. So really, really important to be in the path of totality. It's really worth the detour. It's a life-changing experience to be in the path of totality. If you have a partial eclipse outside of the path of totality, it will be cool. You will experience cool things. It's nowhere near as mind-blowing it's beyond words, actually. If someone has experienced an eclipse before, I was trying to find words to describe really what it feels like, but it really is a beyond word experience that brings all of your sensory experiences. You have a burst of emotions coming. Your mind really tries to be fully present in the present moment, but yet goes totally wild. There is really something about being in the path of totality that is really worth the detour. And for this one, something that is really amazing, like it really crosses several states in the US. And I was looking at the numbers of how many homes and how many people will be in the path of totality. And it will cover over 30 million people, which is going to be one of the most seen astronomical events in the modern history of the United States. And it's going to be moving as well. A lot of people who are people like me who are living in California and going to Texas to see the totality. If there wasn't the festival, I would still be going. Definitely, if you guys can go, just make sure to be in the path of totality.
Absolutely. I was fortunate enough in 2017 to experience the path of totality. Actually, same as yourself. I went to a festival. I thought it was an amazing place to have that experience, but the experience itself would be worth to me traveling for. Understood that not everybody has the time and the means, but this is, depending on where you live in the United States, it's going right up the middle. So you know, it's a very accessible experience compared to, you know, you might have to wait a long time to have an eclipse anywhere near you. My two lasting impressions from experiencing the eclipse in 2017 was one, and I say this, you know, kind of expanding the use of the term, but it was psychedelic. And I think for, you know, people listening to this podcast, that's kind of the best way that I can describe it in my own terms, the overall effect of it. And as somebody who wants to understand the mechanics of the universe, and to some extent, you know, I understand The moon is blocking the light of the sun, but not with any of the depth that I know you will bring to this discussion. But that feeling of awe, that feeling of stepping outside of yourself, I almost experienced like a loss of breath for a second. It took me a moment to regain a sense of self. And all of that is something that I personally, have only really experienced with psychedelics, a true, true sense of awe. And for it to be occurring with a completely natural phenomenon and something that you can share with truly everyone and be on that same wavelength was amazing. And the one thing that I told myself about 2 minutes after it ended and I started to come back into myself was, don't ever miss another eclipse. and I've stuck with that. I'm wondering, is this an experience that you've had before yourself, or will this be your first time in the path of totality?
No, I just like you, I experienced the eclipse in 2017. I was very lucky to have the opportunity to go. I was at the time in a forest in Oregon with my later PhD supervisor. And you describe it very well. For a moment, you are in a place where you're out of yourself. You're experiencing things that really push you to a place where you're experiencing the connectedness with the world around you. You are truly having a sense of the world we live in. Like, we're not just on a flat land. We literally are in a planetary system. And it's very interesting how, the moon has such an impact on the tides and the woman's cycle, and so many things within our bodies are sensitive to the gravitational pull of the moon. And then at that moment, you have really the intensity of the gravitational pull of the sun and the moon and all of that coming together, with all of the expectations that comes beforehand and all of the post moment. Let me pause here for a second. There is so much in this eclipse that is... Let me try to feel for a second my experience during the eclipse. There is something quite fascinating about how me as an astronomer, I went into science to get in some ways the light of knowledge. And there is something specific with getting into the shadow of the moon and in some ways being illuminated by the darkness, if that makes sense. There is a lot with being in the darkness of the shadow of the moon where you are seeing the unseen and you are having for a brief moment an awareness of witnessing a lot of things that within yourself that you are not even fully aware of. Like, you have a visibility over things you wouldn't see otherwise, just like in some ways a psychedelic experience. It opens up a window over some things. And then there can be interesting parallel with like the shadow work. You can dive within your own darkness to then see your light. Things that really become very interestingly obvious and eloquent during an eclipse, with a full like mind experience, heart experience, but also sensory body experience.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, that parallel with psychedelics as well is, so as it becomes dark and fully dark, one of the most dramatic aspects of the experience, and I want to kind of go through the experience, is the stars coming out. And then there is this realization, the stars are always there.
The stars are always there.
It is our perception that changes. And I think that that can be something that people oftentimes have a realization on psychedelics that, okay, wow, I have these very unusual perceptions, but they are perceptions of phenomena that exist. If I look at a tree and the tree looks very different or seems to be breathing or swaying so beautifully, the tree in essence has not changed. I have not changed, but some kind of perception has changed, and to change your perception of the entire mechanics of the universe is a powerful experience. And this has been true throughout history. How and when did this become a predictive phenomenon? How were scientists able to not only understand that this happens, but, you know, we know to the minute when this eclipse is going to be happening in Texas? Or I've been encouraging my niece to go see it, and she's going to all the way up in New Hampshire, and we know to the minute when totality will happen for her, and they will be, you know, different times along this path. So how is science able to make these predictions, and how does that change our understanding of eclipses?
That's a super good question. And to be fully honest, I'm not a historian that is good enough, but not knowledgeable enough on the whole history of it. What I can say, though, is I have learned recently that the first time an eclipse was predicted was 2000 BC. So that was a really long time ago. And you look at a lot of the different cultures in the world connected to the stars in very mathematical ways.
Getting back to the eclipse itself, we talk in the world of psychedelics about set and setting. So if you are going to go on a journey into your own mind, how can you set yourself in a way that is going to give you hopefully the most positive and enlightening experience? Make sure you've got water to drink, make sure that you are comfortable. Don't go to the mall, go and hang out in the woods.
Yeah. Make sure you have glasses, eclipse glasses, to protect your eyes.
Yeah. Well. So if you're not able to go to the festival that we're going to be at, but you're looking, what's going to be a good place to observe an eclipse? What do you need to bring with you, and what kind of location would give you the best chance to really have a good experience of it?
Well, one can look online, the path of totality. That's really the number one thing. The other thing to be mindful of is the clouds. And so we can look a few days ahead and look at the weather forecast. And if you are in a place where you can drive away from the clouds, then do so. As for the type of environment to be in, it really is a personal experience. Some people don't really like the crowd so much. Some other people really want to have the experience of sharing that with others. So that can be a good place to start to look at, you know, if there is an astronomy club around, they will be for sure able to guide people towards what's the right environment. And if there is any gathering for that, I would say really to just, if someone is more into connecting into nature, want to have really an alone experience, that can be really, really powerful also in many ways. I feel the eclipse is such a beautiful opportunity to connect to everyone's experiences and share about what was your respective experience. What was your emotions you were going through? What were your expectations leading up to it? Did you experience some fear? Did you experience some awe? How was your observations of the world around you? How did you witness your animals behaving? How can you witness yourself, and how can you share that with others? And that can be something that can really enhance someone's experience of the eclipse.
Absolutely. And I think just staying on those, you know, some of the lessons of psychedelia would be everything from, you know, take care of your physical form. So I personally believe that everyone, you know, has the right to do what they would like, absent harm to others, in terms and to do it safely and to do it wisely. But I will say that this is not, from my one experience, not really an experience you need to enhance. You know, you're not going to have to make it trippier. It's going to be plenty trippy enough So I will, be kind of trying to just be as clear and open to the experience as I can, shall we say.
Yeah. And you know, some things that can be really, like, it depends on everyone's relationship to their own personal practices. But I feel like it's such a beautiful opportunity to connect on our inner love as well. And how can you, like, do a meditation maybe prior to that and really set an intention? It's like, what is it that you want to shift within yourself? What is, you know, it's like, as you can enter into a psychedelic experience, whatever it is it for the fireworks, is it for therapy, is it for spirituality? Same thing about an eclipse. You can come in with like, oh, I want to just experience it all with all there is, or I want to have like a very specific clear intention of what kind of mindfulness do I want to bring it in, what kind of emotions, how do I want to show up to myself and to the world as I'm witnessing this exceptional astronomical event. Which, by the way, is not that exceptional. It happens very, very often. And if you're missing this one, keep hope that there will be another one somewhere in the world. Actually, I was learning yesterday that there is going to be one in 2026 in Spain.
And actually, in about 25 years, one's going to go directly over Burning Man.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Okay, I'm signing up for this one.
like I said, don't miss a chance to see one. I don't know that I'm quite ready to become an eclipse chaser, but I totally understand that desire.
Okay, let me share with you my favorite story of eclipse chasers. It was during the eclipse in the 1970s, I think 1973. Did you hear about the story of the Concorde that flew over to chase the eclipse?
No.
They were in the path of totality for like an hour and a half with the Concorde, and they went on like, actually, that was my academic grandfather, the PhD supervisor of my PhD supervisor. And they went on this whole kind of like crazy scientific experiment of using the Concorde, going in and changing it so that they could put a telescope and all of their scientific instrument for measurements. They were on the path of totality for an hour and a half.
Oh my gosh. So anybody who might not know, the Concorde is a commercial airplane, but it was able to break the sound barrier. And as you'll see, if you look at that, and you really should, to find out, especially where the path of totality is going to be closest to you, it moves. And that's just, it's not all happening in one place. It's not happening in all of those places at the same time. When you look at that path, there'll be different times and the path of totality moves. So wow, to really stay in that must have been a wild experience. I'm going to have to learn more about that.
There is a whole book about it. If ever you're interested in learning what they went through and what was your most emotional experience as they did it. So look it up. Yeah.
Oh, I've got some reading to do before Texas then. And you know, we love our weed puns and our sort of weed culture stuff here. But I read, and this is on their website, not me making it up, that the time of totality in Texas is going to be 4 minutes and 20 seconds. And I don't know if you're familiar with American weed cultures. 420 is sort of a meme of cannabis here and some other places. So I feel very called. I feel very seen by that. But what
that's quite a synchronicity.
What makes that, because I looked up the Oregon one that we experienced, and it was about half as long. So that's also really exciting. And what would be the factor that would change that would make it twice as long as the one last time?
Ooh. So there are some moments where the orbit of the moon and the orbit of the Earth is slightly further away from the sun. And so the moon is basically having a shadow that is bigger, which makes the time of totality longer. Something interesting as well is the orbit of the moon is actually diverging away from us. And in a few thousands of years, I think it's 200,000 years, although don't call me out on this, it may be something, it's around that much, the moon would be so far away, we won't even be able to see eclipses anymore. So, yeah, it's nice that it's so nice that we get to live at a time where we can actually experience eclipses.
Wow. So let me dial into that with you a little bit, if I could, because I know, you know, in my reading, which is rudimentary in some ways, it seems to be quite almost a cosmic coincidence, if such a thing exists, that eclipses can happen at all, because it has to do with the relative size and distance of the Earth, the Moon, and the Sun. And it would seem, unless you believe in a planned universe, which, you know, everyone is welcome to, it would seem this huge coincidence, or maybe too big of a coincidence. But can you help people understand sort of how unlikely it is that an eclipse is even possible?
Okay, let me tell you some numbers here. So first, the distance of the sun with respect to the Earth is something like 92 million miles away. So it's very, very far away. So in terms of, let's talk about light years. It's like 8 light minutes. So the light coming from the sun takes 8 minutes to reach us. The distance of the moon, is 238,000 miles. It's 1.3 light seconds. And the sun is 108 times bigger than the Earth across. So you need to align 108 times the Earth to get the sun. And for those who are into Buddhist spirituality, 108 is the oneness number. Is a very interesting number. And the Earth is about almost four times bigger than the moon is. And so if you look at the height of a typical child, like let's say 1 meter, the Earth would be the size of a fingernail, like 1 centimeter. And the moon would be about the width of a like single freckle. So it's like a tiny, tiny thing. So really to have that to be aligned with these distances and these sizes, it really is a cosmic coincidence in many ways. And to have this exact alignment, to have the distance between the sun and the Earth, and right at the right distance, you have the moon that is perfectly making the corona around the sun. It really is something that is truly just, truly magical. Well, magical is maybe not the right word. It's all science. But it's...
I think we're at the intersection of those ideas.
We are. Well, that's where it all becomes very beautiful to me. It's where, how there is a bridge between science and spirituality. As you witness the beauty and the majesty of the numbers in science and the cosmic world, you really get to experience perspective. You really get to experience how just everything just perfectly matches everything. And then you're like, okay, well, we're actually in like such a perfectly aligned state where we have the exact radius of the moon, which is 4 times smaller than the Earth, and yet the sun is 108 times bigger than the Earth, and but right at the right distance, so that everything just perfectly matches, and we get to witness this beautiful eclipse with the auroras. And while it's not actually always the case, sometimes you have when the Earth of the orbit is in wintertime when we're closer to the sun, and then you have maybe you've seen the ring solar eclipses. So basically the moon is like looking slightly, quote unquote, right, smaller, while the sun is looking larger, and so you have a golden ring around the moon. So yeah, it's all in motion. It's all a beautiful gravitational dance that is just somehow perfectly aligned for us to witness an absolutely majestic event such as a total solar eclipse.
Beautiful.
Just for us to witness for free somehow.
I'm getting tingles. Yeah. And you know, I think just to come back to a really central point that I want to make sure people get, because I've been talking eclipse And I run in far less astronomical circles than I imagine you do. And I'm saying, you gotta try to get to this. And a lot of people say, oh, I remember that from when I was a kid. And, you know, we looked through the glasses and we charted the shadow. And they're describing an experience that is not totality. And they're saying, oh, it was interesting, but I am not going to plan a vacation around it. And so I want to take people through what this 4 minute and 20 second experience, how it begins, what totality is, how it goes out. And another really important experience people I don't think understand is, you know, you do need these glasses to look at the sun. Don't look directly at the sun ever without glasses. But during totality, you can, of course, take them off. And so what can people expect that 4 minutes and 20 seconds to be like?
I feel like the first thing that I want to answer is whatever your expectation may be, it's highly likely that you're going to be hit emotionally way harder than whatever you can expect. It definitely was my experience. It was the experience of people that I shared that with. We come in with, you know, sometimes months building up expectation of, well, we know how it's going to happen. We know all the science. We have done some work on ourselves to really connect with our emotions. We have an intention. And yet, here comes the totality in these 4 minutes. And this will blow your mind in ways you have no way to prepare for. Everyone will experience it in very different ways. And there is so much of it that also, you know, is the building up, you know, the couple of hours of when there is the partial eclipse that starts, building up to the totality. And you go through various phases of expectations. You're getting yourself to be ready to fully experience the present moment. And even prior to that, all of the journey leading up to that, preparing for the trip, preparing for yourself, learning about it all, hearing people talking about it. There is a lot there that can be a potent tool for self-understanding and witnessing. You know, it's like sometimes some people have fears. I was discussing yesterday with a friend and he was like, I'm actually feeling fear and there is so much uncertainty coming up with it. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it and how I'm going to be able to make it. And I'm witnessing my excitement about the festival and I want to be there and connect with people about this unique experience. And as he was sharing about it all, and we were discussing on how this is all part of the eclipse experience within itself, the fear, the awe, the joy, the expectation, and then as we build up our time to go there, and then we get ourselves ready to fully take in this experience, and you see the darkness, you have the knowledge within you of the, you know, what is it scientifically, you're ready for it, and yet you experience emotions of awe, truly of awe, that truly is beyond your mind in many ways. It really is like a psychedelic experience, maybe, really just a very profound spiritual experience, and that brings a lot of inner sense of love to it all. So it really is a bridge between, I feel like, spirituality and science and all that comes with it. Imagine how trippy it would be to experience that without even any expectations. Like suddenly you're in your field and here's happening. Because there's something really, really funny that happened in history in 585. Did you hear about the eclipse battle?
No, please tell me.
Okay. So that was in the Middle East, somewhere in Anatolia. There were two kingdoms fighting at each other for years. Just really at war for years. And one day they were in battle, and suddenly the sun disappeared and everybody stopped and totally freaked out. And that was a solar eclipse. And everybody stopped fighting, and they all understood it as a message from a higher power to stop fighting. And they never had a battle after that, and peace happened. They had a peace treaty following the eclipse. And so this is like one of the most beautiful historical events, and on how much an eclipse can be like really shift one's mind and can be such a profound, life-changing experience.
Wow. Well, I would love for us all to take some inspiration from that. And I think that that can work on the micro level within ourselves, you know, and some extent and at some level, we're all at war with parts of ourselves, and we are all have our light and darkness and our shadow selves and the parts of ourselves that we want to emit as light and share with other people, and the parts of ourselves that are composed of other completely human emotions like shame, like anger, like disappointment. And, you know, I remember guilt. Absolutely. And I remember one of the speakers at the Eclipse Gathering in 2017 talking about how to, you know, what's so fascinating about the phenomenon is you can talk about it in a purely cosmological, is that a word? Did I get the word right?
Yeah, absolutely it is.
My favorite
word.
You can divorce it from any feeling or emotion or from history and understand it as a purely physical phenomenon and be completely correct. But you can also bring these other aspects to it. And what this person was saying is in certain spiritual practices that, you know, as we said, the understanding of this phenomenon goes back thousands and thousands of years, just as the use of cannabis and psychedelics goes back thousands and thousands of years, that this culture conceived of it as a kind of cauldron that you could put parts of yourself into to let them burn away. And I know that that was a big part of my experience of it in 2017. I was in a time of a lot of personal turmoil. I think politically, a lot of people were feeling the same. I think every one of us has a shadow self. And these moments, what awe really means, you know, we use the word awesome all the time. You ask a, you know, little kid, how was that hot dog? Awesome. Well, I doubt it produced a sense of actual awe. But psychedelics and eclipses, in my personal experience of the earth, are the only means. Well, I won't say what the other one. It's a family podcast, but, you know. Human physical relations can sometimes produce some awe, but for the purposes of this discussion, the eclipse,
we got you.
The eclipse takes you out of yourself, and that is a rare opportunity to try to, you know, integrate these parts of yourself, to be loving towards the shadow part of yourself, to understand that as we see the eclipse happening, it begins, it's not no eclipse. Full eclipse. It is a process over the course of this time here, 4 minutes and 20 seconds. It starts with the slightest shadow crossing the sun and growing, and you can see it incrementally moving towards totality, and not much has changed. And then at this peak moment, you know, we talk often about peaking on psychedelics. The peak of the eclipse is this moment of totality when the sun is completely blocked out. That is when all of these visual phenomenon happens. My recollections was like of a kind of 360 sunset. I remember the birds
Yes.
freaking out, for want of a better word. I remember swirly shadows all over the ground. If you can think within yourself to make sure you look around a bit, it's that intense. You may really have to consciously tell yourself, look around, experience this, try to hold some memory of it.
And the unique colors and the saffron and the warm blue, it really is colors that you never get to experience other than that moment.
Absolutely. And then, like so many beautiful experiences and intense experiences in life, it is going to move out of totality, and that shadow, you can watch it recede until the sun is fully visible again. And I think that, you know, there's a real, if you really want to look at yourself and try to use this as an opportunity, and I think societally, we can all hopefully use this as an opportunity to look at ourselves. That same understanding that things move in this way, they gradually build, they peak, they recede, and you can honor and enjoy and understand every part of that. And the same way, you know, trying to hold on to a psychedelic experience as it recedes is less of a good strategy than to understand that it is going to recede, and that what you want to hold on to is some of the feelings and some of the understandings and some of the wisdom that you might have experienced through it. So you're not trying to hold the experience, you're trying to hold what it meant to you. It's going to be trippy as fuck. And I hope you all, if you have the opportunity, will experience that and find that path of totality in yourself.
To jump back on what you were saying, thank you so much. I really felt it. The cycle of birth and death that comes with it. But also, as the death comes in, there is the whole integration part. Like, how do you get to make this experience that was lived as truly meaningful? And how can you hold the wisdom within yourself? And as my hope in some ways with this eclipse is how people will get to witness how connected we all are to one another, how we're just nothing in this big, massive, gigantic cosmos, how we're all the result of 13.8 billion years of cosmic evolution, the remnant of the light from the Big Bang, and all of that can stay within us and can help us better understand ourselves and others and be more connected, be hopefully more at peace with the world we live in, and be more compassionate towards one another. Yeah, I'm super excited about that experience. Yeah.
I was super excited an hour ago and I'm beyond that now. I think you put it beautifully just now. And I think, yeah, if any of us, all of us, you know, feel that these worlds of light and dark that we all move through internally and externally need to be resolved, it's in one way a beautiful cosmic metaphor for that, but in another way it is as real as any phenomenon on Earth or in the cosmos. I greatly look forward to experiencing it. I look forward to hopefully meeting you in Texas. And
yeah, likewise.
It is going to be, you know, I don't work for them, but if you're looking for an amazing place to experience this, you can check out the Texas Eclipse Festival. All of the info on that will be in the show notes of the podcast. I would say the coolest thing about that is the incredible group of people that they have assembled to talk about every aspect of this phenomenon. Yeah. And some good music and all that. But I promise you, if you can make it into the path of totality anywhere, as long as it's not cloudy, and I want to get a bunch of emails, we should talk about that. You know, if it's cloudy, you know, it's still an eclipse, but you won't see it. And I guess there's a metaphor in that as well. But Thank you so much for this conversation, and thanks for all the work that you do to bring that awe of the universe to people in a way that they can understand and appreciate.
Well, thank you so much for having me. Thank you for all your beautiful work. And I'm so looking forward to share some good times with you during this festival and hear about your experience. And I'll be giving a talk during the festival, and that will be all human experience that I'm looking forward to have.
Right on. And we'll be back next Weedness Day with a new episode. And I also want to say
Weedness Day.
Please check out the archives of this podcast for our episode about the great astronomer Carl Sagan, somebody who enjoyed some cannabis, some psychedelics, and certainly brought this world of the cosmos to many, many people. And I'll just leave it with his words that I always think of.
If you wish to make an apple pie from scratch, you must first invent the universe. Thank you very much.
Carl Sagan, words to go out on. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Well, that's the show, folks. Thanks so much for listening. And if you stuck around this long, please consider supporting us on Patreon. You could put $5 on it at greatmomentsinweedhistory.com. And that would really help us as we research, write, edit, and publish a new episode every Weedness Day. Great Moments in Weed History is written, produced, and performed by me, David Bienenstock, a.k.a. Bean. Special thanks to our sponsor, PAX. Go to PAX.com and use promo code GREATMOMENTS, all one word, for a big discount at checkout.